college student, you see, because she's got words I can't even spell. Like, that is just fantastic. I know that the Lord understands that. That is just really, really great. How you doing? That's where you respond. All right, let me go. Hang on here. I'm going to get my office set up today. All right. Yeah, that'll sort of work. Okay. Now, I was reminded of this story yesterday, but you probably had experiences a little bit like this. So a number of years back when my wife Anita and I were living in Yakima, we went car shopping. We needed a new car, so we showed up at a dealership, and you know, we had a budget. You know, we'd saved for a car, so we kind of knew sort of what we were looking for. And the salesperson that we encountered was really nice and fairly compelling, and it wanted to show us a car that we really couldn't afford. But he said, "Well, why don't you just take it for a test drive? What could it hurt?" We thought, "Yeah, what could it hurt?" So we're taking the test drive, driving along, and he's asking me questions. He said, "Well, you know, what do you do for a living?" I said, "Well, I'm a youth pastor." His eyes lit up. He said, "Well, brother, the Lord must have brought us together, because have I got a deal for you. We have financing offers that you just can't say no to." I thought, "Oh, yes, I can." The Lord has a deal for you today. Then I was reminded of a conversation that happened a few years later with another person. In this case, Fred Nelson. He's a pastor I was serving under while I was in school, and so a student in Chicago, and we've been a part of a church rehabilitation project, you know, kind of a church that was it was dying, but now a couple years into ministry together, it was thriving, and really great things were happening. It was this intergenerational community, and it was really great. And he said something to me. He said, "Andrew, I feel like God has put on my heart to say, hey, you really need to look into church planting." And honestly, it was a thought I really hadn't had up until that point. But that phrase, that one suggestion from a friend, "Hey, I feel like the Lord has put this on my heart to say this to you," it changed a lot of things. And over the next few weeks and months, I just couldn't shake the thought of what would it be like to plant a church that's intentionally intergenerational, a church that is committed to serving the community, a church that loves the creative arts and loves to proclaim the gospel in creative ways. I just couldn't shake the thought. And so we gathered, a team of about 30 people around us as we were working with regional and denominational leaders to discern, is this what we're supposed to do? And over that next month, some pretty remarkable things happened. We made contact with three families in the Wenatchee area. Bob and Sue Floyd, Don and Gail Miller, another family, the McCurdys, that now they live in Spokane. We're still in touch with them. And all of them were saying something kind of similar. We're new to the Wenatchee area, and we think we might, maybe, be interested in being involved with a church plant there. Maybe. Bob was pretty skeptical, isn't that? Because he always is. But that's awesome. And when you're trying to do discernment, you need skeptical people in your life. And so as we're starting to talk to these families, we're starting to figure this out. We went through a discernment process with the denomination. And so about 20-ish people followed us around, along with a number of other families. For about 3 days, got to know us really, really well, asked lots of really hard questions. And at the end of the process, you know, they said to Anita and me, if you could start a church anywhere in the world that's a bit like the one you're dreaming about, where would you start that? And we said, well, Wenatchee, Washington. A community we'd only driven through like a couple of times at this point. I mean, it was always on the way to somewhere else. Weird. But from that team of 30 that was praying, from the three families, over that next month, we saw remarkable things, like those families emerging and us getting to know them a little bit. I'm finishing up my master's degree at this point, and on weekends doing lots of like specialized church planter training. So I was in Washington State 1 week, and then getting to know the Wenatchee area a little bit. And I remember on one of those trips with the person who would eventually become my planting coach, he saw the new junior high that was under construction. This is like 15 years back when it was under construction, Eastmont Junior High, and him saying, if there's any place, you know, any place to start, start meeting, if you can meet there, that's where you want to be. It's going to be, it's a great location, great facility, it's going to be really good fit. Okay, so I'll remember that. And a couple weeks later, I'm in Detroit, again, doing some training, and I run into a person who I knew, known in the past, because he was a youth pastor, too, from the Washington State area. And he said, oh, I've got a friend in Wenatchee. He's a longtime Young Life guy. He really loves the Lord, really loves kids, and I think he's a teacher. You should contact him. So I got an email address from him, and then I email him, and he emails back a few days later, says, well, which is amazing because he even responded to me at all, asking about, you know, starting a church in the Wenatchee area. And he asked the questions that maybe you would ask if somebody kind of just emailed you out of nowhere on these things. What kind of a church is it? Where do you plan to meet? And so I told him a bit about the dream, the intergenerational and creative arts and serve the community, and that's the kind of church we want to be in. And if we can meet anywhere, we would love to meet at the junior high because my coach told me. But, you know, we want to meet at the junior high. I remembered he was a teacher. You wouldn't happen to know who we should contact about meeting at the junior high. And I get an email back like 10 minutes later. How could you possibly know that I'm the guy? It was the assistant principal of Eastmont Junior High. And because of this mutual friend, anyways, all these pieces came together. And so now nearly 15 years later, after much ministry and seeing hundreds of people come to the Lord and hundreds of baptisms, I mean, we're here. We're here. And now the reason I told those two little stories, the car story and the church plant story, is one of the questions that we're just going to wrestle with as Christians is, how do you know if God's calling you to do something? Because I can almost guarantee, because the world is weird and the church world is sometimes weird, there's going to be somebody coming up to you and saying, the Lord told me to tell you something. How do you know? How do you know if God is calling you, or if this is maybe just some well-intentioned person or a salesperson trying to, you know, or maybe a not well-intentioned person? I don't know the car salesman's heart. How do you know? And so that's the topic we're going to look at today as we move into the second week of our series, Developing Holy Grit. You know, this idea of perseverance, this idea of endurance. We remember that in life, hard things happen. And in our heart's response to those hard things, we can either be hardened, which we don't want to do. We can either emotionally shut down and push the possibilities away and end the conversation, or we can be strengthened. We can allow the hardship to make us bitter, or it can make us better. And we've talked about how the goal of this series is to train our souls so that when something difficult comes into life, rather than asking the first question that we so often ask just as human beings of, where is God? Like, where did God go? Something bad is happening. God must not be with me anymore. Because we've got this at times, you know, this is just a human response, but we got this sort of internal deal with God. Okay, Lord, I'm going to be good, or I'm going to at least try to be good. And because I am, I expect that only good things will happen to me. Only good things will happen to me because I'm being good, or because I'm trying to be good. The only problem is, when we start looking at all of the heroes in this book, in the Bible, is that that's not what happened at all. That sometimes the very best people, the most faithful people, ended up having the most trying situations, the most difficult circumstances. So we're starting to learn to train our souls to look at hardship from a different perspective. So rather than asking, where is God, we're looking to ask the question, how is God there? Just trusting that God is already in the situation, that whether or not God deliberately willed this to happen, because sometimes the world is broken and just what we experience just collateral damage of all the sin around us. So God may or may not cause this to happen, but he allowed it. He's aware of it. It's not going to come as a shock to him. And so somehow, God must be able to do something good with it, even if it's something bad. So, Lord, how are you there? How are you present? How can I grow from this? How can I learn from this? How can I be strengthened by this? And so we've been working on a memory verse. It's only the second week in, so it's okay if you don't have it memorized yet. But I give you this little pneumatic device too, like a memory thingy. No, pneumatic is like an air thing. That's a mnemonic. There we go. A mnemonic. I could give you a pneumatic device, but I don't think that would help you memorize the Bible at all. But man, it would look cool, like a robotic or something. Anyways, I gave you a mnemonic device. That remember, when you're going through hardship, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, right? And so what time is it? It's actually 3 minutes after 5. So Romans 5, verses 3 and 4, we've been working on this passage together, okay? So we also glory in our, what's the word? Oh, we glory in our suffering. Do we really? If we have the Spirit of God inside of us, we can look at life from a different perspective, and we can find good even in our sufferings. We can find something to thank God for even in our sufferings. We also glory in our sufferings. What's the next phrase? Because we know. Now tap your neighbor on the shoulder and say, are you sure you know? I'm not sure I always know this. Because we know. Because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character, hope. That suffering in God's hands, not just random suffering when we are trusting God in it, asking God to walk us through it, asking God to be with us there, present in our hardship, that suffering can produce perseverance, character, and character hope. So I challenged you last week to be looking at the question of what is your hard thing? Now, for some, your hard thing has just come into your life. You didn't choose it at all. It's just there. And my challenge for you and for me is to lean into it and look for God there. But today, more than anything, I want to look at the question of what about the hardship that we choose? Because here's my challenge. As you look for, and ask the question, how is God there? Here's what I want you to do over the remaining 3 weeks. If you haven't started this already, I want you to do something hard. I want you to do something hard. So whether that's leaning into something hard that you're already experiencing. So, like I shared last week, an area where I feel like I am growing right now is through a hardship that I did not pick. So I'm about 3 weeks ago, I was diagnosed with what's called vocal nodes, which means I've had some allergy things that got out of control, and it means I've been talking too loud and singing too loudly, and so I've got some damage on my voice, and I've been recovering from that. I've been learning some new habits. I'm hoping to apply them today. Anyways. For singing and speaking, things I've been doing for years and years and years and years and years, but I need to learn. I need to grow. And what I've been discovering through that too is that the very same lessons that I'm needing to learn to help my voice to heal are actually some of the same lessons right now that I need to learn in life. Lessons about letting go. Lessons about not just carrying the tension. Lessons about not always feeling like your first response is just to power through, but instead you got to release. I'm working on that. Singing. No, that wasn't very good. And speaking. So I'm trying to not just be in my chest voice, but anyways. So I'm learning from that and trusting that God is there. But there are also times in life where The hard thing isn't just landing on us, but it's things that we're just taking it on because we're feeling this sense of call, because God is calling you and calling me to do hard things. To do hard things. So how do you know if God's calling? So I wanted us to look at kind of four principles of what it means to hear God's voice. But here's the first thing we need to remember. And I just want to spend some time marveling at this. Is that God speaks. That God speaks. Now, I realize that may not, like, if you've been a church person for a while, you're like, yes, of course he speaks. But think about that. The God that created the entire universe, 10 billion galaxies, each with a trillion stars in them, or more. The God that gave you and me and everything, life and breath, the God that holds everything in his loving hands, that God speaks. That God has something to say. And even more than that, it's not just something to say to everybody. Y'all just be nice. I'm going to go take a break. Y'all just, you know, just treat each other better. Keep families together. Don't kill children. Now, knock it off. Though all those things are true. All those things are true. But the same God has something to say to you and to me on a very personal basis. Andrew, I have a plan for you. God has a unique plan for you. And just think about that for a second. Like, isn't, if that is true, if even if that is just partially true, though I believe it's completely true. Because, I mean, God says in Jeremiah 29, verse 13 and 14, you will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all of your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will lead you out of captivity. But even if that's just partially true, isn't that just like the greatest adventure of life ever? To hear the voice of the God of the universe speak your name, and to know that the God that created everything has a unique plan for you. Isn't that just, nod your head with me, like, that's pretty cool, right? So it is important that we have some frame of reference to go, so how do we know God's plan? So I want to give you, in this case, it's an illustration of the table. Four legs. Because the discernment table, which is what we're talking about, has four legs. So here's leg number one. Okay. Boop. There we go. It's God's word. Now, I'm not listing them in any order of importance necessarily, but all four legs are important. That God speaks to us through his word. One of the things I would hope for you more than anything else, for you to thrive in your faith, is that you would be in God's word on a regular basis, like a daily basis. In some way or another, like a Bible plan, a devotional guide, something for getting yourself into God's word. Because here's the thing. See, God's spirit inspired God's word. And if you want to know the spirit of God in your life, you got to get familiar with what his voice sounds like, right? The same spirit that spoke God's word speaks to you today. So knowing God's word, being marinated in God's word, helps you to know when the spirit of God is actually talking to you. And not just some other random voice or bright idea or well-intentioned salesperson. You need God's word. Now, it's also important as we look at God's word that we look for what is God's character throughout history. Like, how has God related to people in the past? Because God's character is timeless. It doesn't change. We especially look to the New Testament, to Jesus Christ, because that's the fullness of God's character revealed. We look to how Jesus treated the people around him, how Jesus spoke, what Jesus said, so that when we hear that same tone being spoken into our own life, we get to recognize it. You know how people that are looking to identify counterfeit money, how they get skilled in identifying counterfeit money. It's not that they handle lots and lots of counterfeit money, it's that they get really familiar with the real stuff. That they're handling the real, like actual currency so much that when they see something that's just not right, even if it's just the tiniest bit, they can recognize it. That's my hope and prayer for you. That you would be in God's word so that you can recognize God's voice when he speaks. And we also want to have a good, like, the right attitude about God's word. Sometimes we can come into God's word, especially with our plans. Lord, I got this idea. Here's something I want to do. We can do it a little bit like when we go to county planning. You ever done that? You know, you're trying to build something, and you go to county planning. Now, we recognize if you work in county planning, you have an essential job. We're grateful for you. But when you're taking a building permit into county planning, you're not there to go, hey, let's hear your ideas. You want to figure out, so is this okay? Like, and maybe in the back of your mind, you're wondering, so can I get away with this? You know, I got this plan for a shop in the back, and can I get away with this? We need to view God's word more like when you're talking to your architect. Hey, Lord, here's what I'm thinking about. Show me the possibilities. Let's plan together. You assume that the architect is on your side. Now, ultimately, county planning, they're on our sides too. I'm not dissing county planning. But we don't think of it that way, do we? So we're going to come into God's word with our hearts open. Lord, show me how to do life best and well. I don't want to know just what I can get away with. Lord, I want you to teach me how to live because I know that your intentions for me are better than even my intentions for me. Okay, that's leg number one. Leg number two is God's people. Like we see, for example, in Acts chapter 15, verse 28, we see this theme throughout the scriptures, really. And it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. So when the early church was doing discernment, they would pray together and they would listen to God together. Now, when you stop to think about it, that actually makes a lot of sense, because if you're listening to the Spirit of God and you have Christian friends and they're listening for the Spirit of God, and if the Spirit of God is actually speaking to all of you, then you're going to hear something kind of similar, right? Now, all of us are going to hear with some flaws in the system because we're trying to listen to the perfect, you know, God of the universe with a 3-pound fallen brain. You know, we twist stuff. But if we're listening together, in general, we're going to hear more clearly, which is why when you are looking to make big decisions in your life, it is so important. It is so important that you have Christian brothers and sisters praying with you and talking with you. You know, and it's also helpful just to because sometimes we can do this thing and like, well, I like God's people, but you know the people in your life that are the yes people. Don't just pack the team with the yes people. You need a few skeptics. You need a few accountants. You need some people that are going to tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. So, because God has placed people in the body that are kind of like that. Don't point at them, you know, because we don't want to tick them off. But you need that. You need that. And I need that. And as I think of every significant decision I made in life, I am so grateful that I've had Christian brothers and sisters to pray with me. So whether that was about marriage, whether that was about children, whether that was about planting a church. There was a team. It was not just me. And not just me and Jesus. It may start there. Just an inner sense of leading. We'll talk about that in a moment. But to really know, you need a posse. So I urge you to build a posse. Now that can be through a connection group. That could be through taking somebody out for coffee. That can be through you do a backyard barbecue and you invite some friends. But just you need friends. You need Christian friends. And if you're wondering where to find them, just take a look. Look to the left. Look to the right. You're actually not alone here in church. Now, if you're watching this online, you might be completely alone. Somebody's watching probably. You're sitting in your underwear going, I'm so lonely. You're like, get to church. Get your naked buns into church, you know? And let's make some friends. Because you need God's word and you need God's people if you want to hear God's spirit well. Okay, but there's two more legs. Two more legs. All right. We're going to turn this around. It can be helpful also to look at history. Now here I'm talking about both God's history in the Bible. Remember, history is his story, but also God's history in you. Like, because here's the thing to remember is that God doesn't waste a drop. Everything you've experienced, both good and bad, he wants to use it. So you look for, what have I done in the past? How has God led me in the past? What are the general trends that I'm seeing? God, are you opening up doors of opportunity here? Have you closed off doors of opportunity? Lord, I want to listen because God speaks through providence. God speaks through his work as a whole. So we listen for that. We look for the patterns. We look for the trends. Lord, how have you been leading my history? And Lord, how from there might you be leading my future? Now, fourth area, and this is probably the one that you came to first, for many of us it is the sense of inner leading, of just this gut sense, like I think God might be calling me to something. Like just by a show of hands, who has ever had that sense? Like, I think God might look. So we have it. So you look for things like, is this an ongoing sense of God's call, or is this me maybe having one kind of amazing moment? Though it's important as you get to know the Spirit of God, when God calls you to obedience, move as quickly as you can. Take your first step just as quickly as you can. But you look for, Lord, is this something that you've been leading me towards? Over time, you look to submit even those feelings to God with humility. Lord, do I want to serve you and be faithful to what you're calling me to more than I want this thing that I'm really intrigued by? Can I be as okay with your no as your yes? So we submit our desires before God. Lord, I think you're calling, and that's really the most honest we can be is, God, I think you are calling me. I think, so help me to know. I think this is what you're leading me to. So help me to know. And help me to be okay if you say no. And Lord, if I act out of obedience to what I believe you're calling me to, will you, I just pray, God, that you would be honored just by my desire to serve you. Just by my desire to follow you with my life. I'm reminded of Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, God, and know my heart. Tells us that we need the Spirit of God to search us. That God knows your heart and my heart better than we know ourselves. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me. I need testing. And know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. that we need God to search us. We need God to test us because we want God to lead us. So next week, as we look at this, you know, the, continue on with the developing holy grit, like developing endurance, developing perseverance, we're going to look at, so what does it mean as we're feeling led towards something? Whether that's in response to something, a hard thing that's come into our life, or that's in response to God's call in our life. What does it mean to make a plan and still hold it loosely so that we have obedience without just simply being stubborn? How do we have perseverance and endurance without slipping into just stubbornness? And then 2 weeks from now, we're going to do something kind of that I'm really excited for. We're just going to share stories. Yes. Stories of how God is meeting you in times of hardship. So now, some of you already, I mean, I'm hearing these stories already. As you're leaning into the hardship and discovering God is there. He's doing something good, even in something hard, even in something I didn't want. Or maybe you're responding to something that God's calling you to, and you've got something to share. So be thinking now, if that's something that God might be calling you to do, to share a story, let me know. Andrew@columbiagrove.org. Just send me a note, write it on the back of one of the cards of anything, put it somewhere, you know, send a carrier pigeon, do something. And there'll also be some opportunities for spontaneous sharing. But here's the ground rules for it, is don't have it be something that you went through 2 years ago, but something that you're going through now, something that you're trusting God with right now. Because I think we're going to be encouraged as we hear just how powerfully God is at work in us as we are leaning into hard things, as we are doing hard things, as we are making hard choices, as we are choosing obedience, as we're listening to the Spirit of God, and God is moving and strengthening you and me and us. Because all of it is about relationship. We're in relationship with God, we're in relationship with one another, and God is calling us to that deeper relationship with Him and to trust Him. Now, I asked us to share last week and to be a little bit bold, so I'm going to invite you to do the same thing again today, even as the worship team comes up. If you are currently in something that you go, this has been kind of hard, you know, you've got your vocal node story, or you've got your something that's hard, but you're saying, God, I want to lean into you. I want to trust you with it. If you're going through something hard right now, I invite you just to stand up. We're not going to put you on the spot. We're not going to ask you to tell your story unless you want to in a couple of weeks. But look around. Look around. Look around. Now, here's where I'd invite the rest of us to, if you're going through this, to stand up. Now, for some today, you're saying, I am feeling like God is calling me to do something hard. And I'm asking God to lead me in that. If that's you, will you stand up? Will you stand up? Yeah. Because we want to pray for each other. Because as we do hard things, God will develop in you and in me and in us greater degrees of perseverance, of endurance, that the hard thing that's in your life, whether it's something you chose or just something that happened, that hard thing, God can use it. God can use it. And ultimately, it can be for your good. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to build you up. He wants to make you better, not bitter. He wants to make you stronger and not harder. You with me? Let's pray together. And now, if you're seated next to somebody who's standing, would you maybe, if it's appropriate, or if you can reach their shoulder, put a hand on their shoulder. Don't put your hand on their backside. That'd just be weird. Okay? Reaching up. No. Don't do that. Oh, and this is the service that's getting recorded too. That's no good. I'm going to have to behave myself. No. But see, the thing is, we're in this together. We're in this together. So we're going to pray, and we're also going to pray for those who are seated. Because my prayer is that every one of us would find something that God is challenging us in. And so that by the end of the 4 weeks, that most or all of us even would be standing as we do something hard. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you strengthen. Lord, thank you that you help us to persevere. God, thank you that as we go through hard things, we know that you are there. You're with us. You're helping us. You're walking with us. So Lord, give us strength to trust you in the midst of hardship. And Lord, for those who are taking on something hard, they are sensing your call. God, thank you for speaking to your children. God, thank you that you have something to say. Lord, help us to listen. Lord, help us to trust and obey. Lord, help us to grow as we go, as we serve you, as we do things that are difficult. And God, may you get all of the glory. Because God, yours is all the glory. We belong to you. Now, congregation, last week I challenged you to pray. There's a three-word little prayer. You can just pray it under your breath for right now. Maybe some of you are going to pray it out loud. Three-word, real dangerous prayer. As we speak into the hardship, three-word, dangerous prayer, bring it on. Bring it on. Now, you don't need to pray this unless you're ready. But if you want to lean into God's work in your life, I challenge you to even just to whisper that one. Lord, I'm facing something hard, but I trust you, so bring it on. God, I'm sensing your call to do something that I didn't think I could do, but Lord, give me the strength and bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. Bring it on. We pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.